Hi there. Welcome to the Mind Ramp Podcast. I'm your host, Michael C. Patterson. Mind Ramp's goal is to offer you evidence-based information that could help you achieve qualongevity, longevity, and quality of life. We approach this goal from two fronts. First, we focus on what can be done to keep our bodies and brains healthy enough to live long lives, longevity. And second, we explore how to effectively use our healthy bodies and minds to flourish, to live well. In this episode, I want to focus on brain health and on the behavioral roots of brain health, 8 behaviors that can help you live long and stay healthy as you age. And we will use examples from music to illustrate how a range of activities can keep you engaged in healthy behaviors. So to start, we should be clear what we mean by brain health. When I use the term brain health, I'm referring to the structural integrity of body and brain. I approach brain health from a preventative point of view. It's much easier to prevent damage from happening than it is to repair and compensate for significant damage once it has occurred. What we want is a brain that is resistant to injury and disease. We want a brain that is resilient, a brain that can repair damage and recover from illness. When we talk about the brain, we need to remember that body and brain are intimately connected. The brain could not function without a body, and our complex and nimble bodies could not function without our nimble brains. So there's this constant communication between body and brain, a kind of endless feedback loop. Signals flow as much from the body to the brain as from the brain to the body. When we understand the intimate connection of body and brain, it becomes clear that the health of our brain is dependent upon the health of our body. We need our circulatory system to maintain its structural integrity so that there is a constant supply of blood to the brain. Our respiratory system needs to be working well to keep oxygen available to body and brain. There's a growing recognition that our gut and our brains have an intimate and complex relationship. The health of diverse bacterial species in our gut can affect not only our general health, but also our psychological well-being, our moods, and our affect. We also want our brains to build up what is called brain reserve and cognitive reserve. Because the brain is plastic, healthy brain cells will often compensate for cells that are compromised. So the more healthy brain cells you have, the more brain reserve you have, the better the brain can compensate for declines associated with aging or illness. Cognitive reserve refers to a buildup of multiple cognitive strategies. The more flexible and adaptive your thinking, the better you can continue to solve life's problems, even when cognitive functions start to become compromised. So, how do we keep all these myriad structures of body and brain in good working order? Much of the research on brain health has focused on finding a magic bullet that will somehow manage to address all of these myriad structural concerns. Not surprisingly, this approach has not been very successful. Other research focused on identifying specific types of behaviors and specific conditions that either help the brain stay healthy or put the brain at greater risk. It became clear to me early on in my tenure at AARP, running the Staying Sharp program, that the way to keep our brains healthy was to do more of the protective behaviors and less of the risky behaviors. This so-called risk management approach has recently become more widely accepted by the science community. Brain health research, like most neuroscience research, is highly specialized, spread out all over the map. So the role I took on was to be the generalist. I wanted to pull together all of the various strands of information and weave them together into a big-picture narrative that could be understood by anyone. So we began to evaluate all of the evidence on risks and protective factors and to categorize them. What emerged was a group of behavioral areas that we now call the behavioral roots of brain health. We now have 8 behavioral roots. They are, and none of these should surprise you, physical exercise and movement, mental stimulation, social engagement, stress management, sleep, diet and nutrition, medical care, and environmental factors. None of these behavioral recommendations, as I said, should be a surprise to you, but you rarely see all of them put together, and you rarely hear the point made that you have to work on all of them. They have a synergistic effect. They have a what we call a combinatorial effect. This is one of our rules of the four C's. When you work with the behavioral roots of brain health, as I'll explain, or with any other brain health program for that matter, check out how well the approach adheres to the rule of the four C's. Our rule states that brain health interventions work better if they, one, address root causes, not symptoms. Two, they work better if they are combinatorial. There are multiple causes of cognitive decline, and you need to address all of them in a combinatorial manner, a synergistic manner. So three, customized. Each brain is different. Brain health interventions need to be customized to your unique brain. No one-size-fits-all solutions are going to be any good. So you've got causes, combinatorial, customized, and then finally, continual. Once you've adopted good behaviors, you need to stick with them. They need to become life habits. You can't just do something for 1 week and then figure you've got it all solved. The analogy of a sinking boat makes the point. If you're in a boat that is filling up with water, you can grab a bucket and start, you know, bailing the water out. But ultimately, you're going to need to figure out how the water is getting in the boat in the first place. The bailing just addresses the symptoms. It's the numerous holes in the hull that are letting the water in. So you've got to plug all of those holes, not just one, but all of them, with just the right size plugs, and you need to maintain them if you want to keep the boat afloat. Okay, so there is an ever-growing body of evidence that pinpoints specific behaviors that increase your risk of cognitive decline, that make it more likely that you will suffer decline and at an earlier age. And there are other types of behaviors that do the opposite, that make your brain stronger and more resilient. Protective factors will keep you healthier and for a longer time. For each of the eight behavioral roots of brain health, there are both risks and protections. You can behave in ways that are risky, or you can behave in ways that are protective. The obvious strategy, therefore, is to stop doing the risky behaviors and replace them with protective behaviors. In this way, you construct your brain-healthy lifestyle. And when you do this, you build up a reserve of healthy and vibrant brain cells and brain structures that fight off disease, repair damage, and remain highly plastic and flexible. So as I said, I would use music as an example. How can music help you engage in behavioral roots of brain health to reduce risk factors and incorporate protective behaviors into your daily routines? The connections are obvious for most of the roots, but not so much for a couple of them. But it'll be instructive. So let's start with physical exercise and movement. What are the risk factors associated with physical exercise? I mean, you know this. A sedentary lifestyle is risky. Not moving is bad for your body and your brain. On the other hand, movement has the magical power to improve the health of your body and your brain, and even to improve your mood. So how might music get you moving more? I mean, just listening to music can encourage you to start moving to the groove, swinging your hips, waving your arms around. Song and dance are intimately connected, so indulge your impulse to get up and dance to the music. As a general rule, making music provides you with more benefits than does listening to music. Consider, for example, how much movement is involved in the process of singing. You have to support the sound with breath. So when you sing, you move and exercise your respiratory system. That exertion increases your heart rate, gets your blood flowing. Simply getting off your couch and walking to choir practice, for example, is beneficial because you're out there and you're walking. If you're standing and swaying and clapping your arms over your head, you are engaging large muscle groups in your body. But also remember that singing exercises all of the important small muscles in your lips, your tongue, your throat. Playing a musical instrument forces you to exercise and coordinate complex movements in your hands and your fingers. So all of these activities are fun. Hopefully, you enjoy doing them, and they get you moving all the different parts of your body. How about mental stimulation? Mental stimulation that is novel, challenging, complex, and meaningful is protective. The opposite is risky. Now, both making music and listening to music, especially if you listen mindfully, can stimulate broad areas of the brain that are needed to understand and manipulate the various elements of music. Each new song or piece of music presents the brain with novel and complex challenges. Remember that music is organized sound, so your brain, when you're using it mindfully, needs to be able to hear differences in timbre and pitch, volume, direction, and texture. If you're singing or playing the tune, you need to coordinate the timing, the rhythms, the harmonies with the other players. The more music you play or listen to, the better your hearing brain becomes, and the greater the coordination between brain and body, between thinking and moving. If you're reading music, you have learned a second language and are stimulating the brain when you connect the notes and time signatures on the page with what you need to do with your vocal apparatus or with your fingers and hands to produce the required sounds. Brain health is largely a use-it or lose-it proposition. If you use your brain in protective ways, it gets stronger and healthier. Brains that are not stimulated lose that edge. They weaken. They atrophy. Okay, how about social engagement? Loneliness and social rejection are risk factors. Support and acceptance are protective. We suffer pain when rejected, but we thrive, get healthier, and feel better when we are part of a meaningful group. Singing, dancing, making music with each other is about the most socially bonding activity that we do. We're social animals. We thrive when together and suffer when we are alone or feel excluded from our tribe. Every culture on earth uses music to encourage social connectedness. There's a power to synchronicity. Groups of people bond when they have the opportunity to move to the same rhythm and to tune into the same harmonies. What about sleep? Insomnia and sleep deprivation are very dangerous for your brain. You know this from experience. Your brain is foggy after pulling an all-nighter. Regular, quality sleep for 6 to 8 hours a night is essential to repair, renew, and refresh your brain. Music can be helpful to the extent that it reduces stress and gets you relaxed when going to bed. Setting your radio to play pleasant music in the morning may be a gentle and pleasurable way to be roused from sleep. Now, how about diet and nutrition? I'm not sure about this one. Does listening to good music make you more likely to eat a healthy diet? A plant-based diet of fresh, organic fruits and vegetables? Will playing Mediterranean music encourage you to eat a Mediterranean diet and avoid highly processed foods? Maybe. If so, go for it. Do it. But that's what you need from diet and nutrition. Avoid those processed foods. Eat a healthy Mediterranean diet with lots of fruits and vegetables. Basically, an enriched environment is good for your brain, because the enrichment is novel, stimulating, and challenging. An impoverished environment, on the other hand, is bad for the health and well-being of your brain, because it provides no such stimulation. Worse, a toxic environment can damage your brain. Pollution, including noise pollution, has been shown to increase cognitive decline and the risk of dementia. Living in poverty conditions burdens children with handicaps that stay with them throughout their lives. Just as we move through different landscapes, we also move through ever-changing soundscapes. Our environment is filled with sound, some of it music, some of it language, and a lot of it noise. Noise is damaging to our auditory system, and to our brains. It muddies the signals, making it harder to hear, to think, and to remember. On the other hand, organized sound, music, is a highly effective way to enrich one's environment. With earbuds and smartphones, we can all orchestrate the soundtracks of our lives, our own portable soundscapes within our own minds. Now, how about stress management? Stress is a factor in almost all of the behavioral routes. Note that we call this stress management, not stress reduction or stress elimination. Stress is always with us. The stress response is an evolved response designed to alert us to danger, to keep us alive. When in danger, your body boosts stimulants so that you can respond and then return systems to normal once the threat is passed. Chronic, prolonged, unrelieved stress, however, erodes our health and our well-being. When we get caught up in the endless cycling of rumination about the past or anxieties about the future, the stress never goes away. Your body is constantly on alert. Your systems are always in fight or flight mode. This constant overload exhausts body and brain. It robs body and brain of the normal resources they need to function normally. To manage our stress, we need to develop techniques to break out of that endless cycle of worry and to mindfully bring ourselves back into the present moment. Mindful listening to music, mindful playing music, engages us in the direct experience of the music and keeps our brains away from the ruminations. The same is true for physical exercise, for engaging mental activities or social interactions. Music also plays with stress in an interesting way. It gives us an opportunity to practice feeling stress and then returning to a non-stress state. A well-constructed song, like a well-constructed story, builds an expectation of what is to come next. A certain set of notes and rhythms builds an expectation of the type of notes that are going to follow. Expectation is a kind of mild stress. When those expectations are fulfilled, we feel gratified and then we calm down. But when the expectations are violated, we're surprised. We pay attention. Whoa, the music just got interesting. Brain and body are put into alert mode. Again, it's a kind of benign stress. But then the song will eventually resolve. The melody will return to an anticipated route, which brings us back into our comfort zone. Music, or any activity that fully engages your body and mind, can reduce chronic stress, or at least give you a break from it. Finally, clearly any kind of illness or medical condition is a risk factor. Neuroscientists and cardiologists like to say that what is good for your heart is good for your brain. If your circulatory system is compromised, your brain won't get enough blood. It'll be starved of the nutrients it needs to function well. Often the medications we take cause cognitive decline. So to protect yourself, you need to do all that you can to prevent injury and illness. Now, music is increasingly being used as a medical treatment. It's being used to treat traumatic brain injury, to mitigate the stress that accompanies intractable illnesses like cancer and the worry that comes along with a diagnosis. It's used to mitigate memory loss and dementia, used to strengthen language skills in children with autism and other language and reading difficulties. Music is used with motor disorders like Parkinson's disease, stroke, and difficulty with respiration, swallowing, and speaking. Music can also mitigate hearing loss and improve speech, understanding, and the use of prosody. And of course, all of the behavioral routes play a combinatorial role in this prevention strategy. If there are vaccines that reduce the risk of getting COVID or pneumonia, for example, take them. And if you get sick, you need to make sure you get a good diagnosis so that you find the root causes of the problem. Then you need to find effective treatment and stick with it for as long as is necessary. So that's a quick look at the behavioral roots of brain health and how music, as an example, can help us to avoid the risk factors and engage more mindfully with the protective factors. As we've said, to be really effective, you need to integrate all of the behavioral roots into your daily life, making them an integral part of your lifestyle. The best way to do this is through activities that are fun and pleasurable. You don't want to have to work at brain health. You want it to feel like play. Music is one such activity. It is inherently pleasurable, and especially if done mindfully, can get you engaged in activities that will keep your body and brain healthy. Keeping your brain healthy is one half of our qualongevity equation. In the next episode on music, we will explore how music can help us manage our minds. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you have found some practical advice here to help you live long and live well. Take care. Until next time.